We are so blown away that God has us here at The Way. We're relaying a foundation that we thought we had laid for 1,000 years. We all have a sense of what is our Christianity, our walk with God, what works, what is faith, what is church. God has been challenging us. And I think with Jesse, he was laying that foundation of identity in Christ, laying it there. And Jesse didn't have a chance to really map that into our lives because God called him elsewhere. But he was on the verge. And then I come along and we continue that. We didn't lose anything. I'm on the page. That's the miracle for us of coming to The Way. We've looked for a church that is open to where we're at right now. This is unique. This is miraculous. Where we are as a body and where we are and where each individual is, it's such a convergence. It's a work of God. You know, I was traveling every single week. Now we're here. Now we're trying to figure out how to live in a trailer and how to balance stuff out and how to make storage out of nothing. That's all a lot of distraction, but it has to be done. And so I think we're about another week out. If the heat goes away, we can work. Otherwise, it gets pretty nasty to be in that container at 400 degrees. But we'll get it sorted out. A week to 2 weeks out, then I'll be able to spend time doing what I love to do and what I feel called to do. And that's going to be getting involved with you, each person individually. I had a wonderful time the other night. Hulda just happened to be here and I just happened to be here, and we got to do a meeting just talking about where our heads are at and where our histories are at and what we know about the Lord. And it was such a blessing to me. It's like, that's what I'm here for. That meeting made my week. Thank you, Hulda. But it really did. Because she was one of five people that have asked me the same question this week. And we went a little further with her. And then after meeting with her, I was just disturbed. Like, I did a terrible job of answering that question. I could have gone better. But that was the fifth person that asked me that question. And so what's going on, Lord? Why are you hitting me with this right now? And I think because we're going to get hit with this question. And so I'll tell you, what we were talking about is, really, is Christ the only way? Well, I believe Christ is the only way. But if you're broad-minded and not forced into a mold, you're going to look around and go, well, they seem to think their way is the way. And they seem to think their way is the way. And you're telling me that you can go to every one of those people and go, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Well, if I was Christ and I knew all things and I could see what is the way, and I knew that I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but through me. That's pretty narrow-minded. That's pretty exclusive. That's pretty divisive. That's pretty judgmental. But that's what he said. You can't get away from that's what he said. But that's not the question. The question isn't for us as believers who have embraced that thought, but for us to recognize there's a lot of people that don't even think like that. And they're coming from a different background. What if you just now stepped right into Afghanistan and you're saying Muhammad ain't the way, Allah ain't God? Well, you're going to have a tough time getting that message across. You'll probably get killed on the spot. Those guys weren't raised in Western thinking. They're Middle Eastern. And they have a whole different way of thinking and a whole different way of proving it out. And so as I was talking to Hulda, thinking, you're right, we've got to present it a little differently. Let me just give you a quick little scenario. Imagine there are five ways you absolutely know these five ways will save you. These five ways will get you to heaven. These five ways, but you got to pick one of them. But there are 1,000 choices being presented to you. But there are five really good ones, and they're real. Let's just say, go with me on this, okay? I know that's not the, but you're with me. So there's five. Let's say there's five. And I come along and I'm number four. I'm like, number four works. I'm seeing transformation in my life. I'm seeing power, authority. This is awesome. And it's working. Now somebody comes along and goes, well, did you look at one, two, and three? Did you look at number five? Well, four works. Four, it's happening. Why would you look at the others if it really was happening? So Christ, you find Christ, and all of a sudden you find true authority. It's not just religion. It's not just going to church anymore. There is master. I mean, the master. You see him working. You see him accomplishing things. And back in the day, this is, read your Bible, the whole thing was, prove it. Really? Let's see it. Don't just say that. Let's see. And everything was, and they showed it with authority and power. They showed it with authority and power. The Holy Spirit would show up. People would get healed. People would get raised from the dead. People wouldn't die when they were, you know, bit by a snake. Things like that kept happening. Why? To authenticate the message. To authenticate. And what's the message? Jesus Christ. That's the message. He is the word. He is the way. He is the truth. And it was all to authenticate. So you're walking with Christ and you're seeing the authenticated power, the authority, the transformation. You're seeing it. And then somebody goes, but you know, what about Buddha? Have you looked into that? I would say, what? Are you nuts? This is working. This is powerful. There is transformation here. What? If the other one works great, I only got so much time on this planet. I'm not going to go run around and chase some other possibility. I got Christ. And so I'm going to tell you, I know this one works. Haven't lived out the other four. I don't really care about the other four. I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm going to tell you what I've seen. I'm going to tell you what works for me. I'm going to tell you where power, authority, and transformation. And I like that, power, authority, and transformation. You can talk all you want. If there's no power, you're not going to see authority. You're not going to see transformation. Christ is the power. He is God Almighty. And he says, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways touch you. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. I think I'll hang out here because I know that the enemy's real. I know there's darkness out there. I know there's trouble out there. And I think I'm going to hang out in this nice, safe place where there's not only protection, but there's power, authority, and transformation. And I'll tell you, many, many, many Christians do not experience transformation. They have power and authority. They don't know how to use it. And so a lot of Christians are trying to transform themselves by grit, by, I'm a Christian. I'm going to do this. That's legalism. And that's going to kill them. And you know that. You've lived legalistically before. It's death. It's dry. It's lifeless. But boy, you're doing the right things and you could check off the list. You've memorized scripture, or you've taught a Bible study, or you, whatever, you know, you've been nice to the homeless. There's all kinds of things we can go, oh, that's holy. No, what's holy is to be perfect and pure before God. That's holy. Set apart for him. Are you holy? Well, I go to church and I, you know, we talked to a guy yesterday. Are you, how are you in Christ? And man, you know, my bank account is going so well and my business is going so well. How are you in Jesus? Where are you guys connecting? He said, man, I'm telling you something. I helped another guy start his business and I helped another guy buy his house. He had no clue what I was asking him. None. A religious man living in darkness. Well, I know the name Jesus. I believe there is a Jesus. No clue that there's transformation. That there's authority, there's power, there's transformation in Jesus Christ. No clue. That's what we want to know here. God has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. What's that mean to you? To kill demons, to trample on, they're not going to trample on me. That's what he's talking about when he talks about scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. It's pretty clear. He can in no ways harm me. Luke 10:19. Look that up. Underline it. Go into the deepest Bible study you can. Look up the Greek and say, what is he saying? It's stunning. That's who we are. We are people that have that authority. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. I'm quoting scripture again. I'm not making this up. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Okay, I don't need to look anywhere else. This is it. Now, if you're telling me there's power elsewhere, hallelujah, go. And God bless you. I hope you find what you're looking for. I found it. It's called Jesus. I found it. It's called transformation. My life isn't about me trying to be good anymore. It's not about me trying to be holy or religious. I am holy. I have been set apart. God has called me his own. He did that, not me. He's made me holy, set apart, sanctified in him. He did that work. I just get to say thank you. And I think that's a good program. I like it. It works for me. And it's easy. Is it? Is it easy? Well, yes, it's very easy. Is it? And here's what's not easy, believing it. Here's what's not easy, living it. Because we want to get back in and try to be good and try to be holy and try to do it and try to be, we want to try to please God. He is pleased. I don't have to do anything but say thank you. But when you know he loves you, he's accepted you, he's called you out, he's poured his spirit into you, he's sealed you, and he's called you for eternity, when you know that and you don't have anything to prove, guess what ends up happening? You start walking in power. You start walking in authority. You start obeying. You start doing what you've been trying to do all these years and not being able, because now you're doing it through the power of the Spirit, not through the power of the will. And that's the big difference of Christianity and every other thing I've looked at. So in talking to Holden and talking to, now how do I approach this with other people? I'd say, go try it. Go have fun. I'm not going to beat you down, or I shouldn't say, well, Muhammad's not the way, or Buddha's not the way. Buddha never tried to be the way, by the way. Buddha would have nothing to do with Buddhism, if you understand that. But many of these major religions are out there, and their leaders would say that they're the way. I need to say to everybody, go try it. I don't think it's going to work out. I don't think good things are going to happen for you. But if I were to say, nah, that's stupid. Well, now we just have a difference of opinion. And now you're going to argue with me and I'm going to argue with you. I don't want that to be what's happening. What I want to be what's happening is love, friendship, relationship. Go give it a try. If I was you and I felt like I needed to do that, I'd go do it. And so now we remain friends. I can continue to love you. I can continue to support you. I can continue to pray for you, because you're going to go do what you think you got to do. I'm not going to be able to stop that, no matter how religious I am or how Billy Graham I am. I'm not going to be able to stop you from doing what you need to do in your pursuit of what is true. So I want to encourage you in that pursuit, right? I want to encourage you in that pursuit. Go give it a try. I don't think it's going to go well with you. I don't. But I'm not going to be able to stop you. So you go give it a try, and then you come back and report to me what you're having, what you're seeing. Do you have authority? Do you have power? Do you have peace? Do you have transformation? Yes, yes, yes. Then hallelujah, you found something I didn't even know existed. Now, do I need to go try your thing? No, my thing works. My thing's legit. So I think Christianity stands alone. I think it does. Stands alone because it is effective. It's pragmatic. You can apply it and see a result. However, do you know how many Christians have no authority, no transformation, no power? It doesn't work. They can be religious. They can go to church. People can think well of them. They dress nice. They look good. They say the right words. They don't cuss or drink or chew or go with girls that do. And so, man, they are the thing. And it's those girls that do that mess you up, guys. So anyway, don't go with those girls. So I was a pastor for 35 years, right? For 35 years, planting churches, teaching, seeing people get saved, evangelistic, amazing stuff. After being a pastor for so many years and seeing so many people come to Christ, say the sinner's prayer, walk the aisle. I love walking the aisle. That's a powerful thing. You know, when you walk down the aisle, say, I want Jesus, you know, that's what I did. And I walked down in a little church in Southern Oregon, you know, walked down the aisle. I knelt on those steps and I prayed to receive Jesus. And, you know, there was lightning and thunder. There was flashes and there was music. There were angels. No, it was just me and a pastor praying on a prayer, on a stair. None of that happened. But I'll tell you what. But what I did see happen is I prayed that prayer. And after praying that prayer, I knew I meant it. It wasn't half-hearted. It wasn't sort of. And I began to change. And I saw me beginning to change. Okay, so fast forward. I go off to Bible college. I do all my seminary stuff. Good. Now I'm, a real Christian. And then I started running into problems because they were saying the Holy Spirit didn't do what he did before, and there was cessation theology I had to deal with, and there was all kinds of different Christianity, and I'm running into all this, and I'm getting into trouble because I'm challenging everything. Oh, hold on, man, hold on. And so as I'm challenging everything, I'm starting to get out of whack and started to think, what is Christianity? And I tried to dial it in, and I got to the place where I said the same stuff that I said to Holda, where, no, Christ is the way, the only way, and there is no other, which I believe is true. But you don't have to be militant. You don't have to be angry or divisive. I was, because I was right. See, that is such a great question, because that is what we're talking about, is what does it mean if Jesus and the Father are one? And something you said is if the Father and Jesus met before the foundation of time, and Jesus says, I'll do it. Somebody's got to die for these people. And Jesus goes, I'll do it. And the Father goes, phew, go, son. Hallelujah. Scapegoat. My son will take the heat. Jesus will take the heat. Doesn't that sound like a coward's way out? Until you realize Jesus and God are the same guy. Until you realize, wait a minute, we're just talking about application of that personality, application of that. They are the same guy. As much as Jesus suffered, God suffered equally. You know, when you say to your kid, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me, it's true when it comes to God and Jesus. So they're the same guy. They're the same entity. Throw the Holy Spirit in there, please, because it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One entity functioning in three different ways and in three different realms, if you will. You know, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. That was God, and it says all the fullness of deity was in him. Colossians is a great one where you find out the supremacy of Christ. He is God in every single way, but he chose to manifest in the flesh so that we might see. When I was a kid, this reminds me of a story. I lived in a trailer park, and across the way, there was no trailer. There was a trailer, but in the middle, no trailer. And in the middle of that ground, there was this ant hill. So this is down in Palm Springs, big red ants. And I'd go and I'd watch them, and I'd watch them drag stuff in, and I'd watch them do what they did. And I even would follow one and see, well, how far is this guy going to go? And will he come back? And literally, I was a little kid, I'm second grade, and I'm following ants. And I was curious, will they come back? And will they come back with something? And what do ants do? And then I found out next Tuesday, a new trailer's coming, which means they're going to wipe out the anthill. Which means, because they bring a little bulldozer in, they flatten everything. I've seen them do it before. And I'm like, you guys, they're coming. You're going to be dead. You guys. And then I thought, oh, if I could be an ant, if I could be, because right now I'm scared of them. I'm showing up and saying, you guys, and they're going, what is that? And my shadow would land on them. They'd scurry. But if I was an ant and I could go among them and go, hey, you guys, be careful. You know what they would do? They'd kill me. But so God came in the form of a man so he can communicate without scaring the daylights out of us. And still, he scared them every time he did something like, it's a goat. You remember that? When he walked on water, when he did other things. So God will manifest. Jesus came and manifest himself in a way that we could embrace him and know him. And he says, if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. If I could do that, I think the ants wouldn't have got scraped. That's what I think. I wasn't Christian. I didn't go to church. But later when I became a Christian, I said, that's exactly what he did. Church, for 35 years being a pastor, leading hundreds, if not thousands of people to Christ, because I used to do crusades and all that kind of stuff. I would revisit these people. I would see people 10, 15 years later. I would watch various churches that I planted 10, 15 years later. Guess what? They weren't free. There was no authority. There was no power. I saw sadness in my heart. I saw people who were, now they're Christian. Ugh, too bad. There was a time where I stopped going to church. I didn't want anything to do with Christians. It was like, they're mean. They're selfish. They're abusive. Oh, they're humans. And I kept looking for something that wasn't human, but they couldn't know that because they were stuck in the room of good intentions. And why is this book and this picture and all this so important to us? Because I've been there. I lived that for 50 years. And as a pastor, 35 years, I taught the room of good intentions and thought it was so good. And I was there and I kept dragging people in. You got to come to the room of good intentions. All right, dust yourself off, clean up. Okay, look good, stand up straight. And next week I'll have you help with the offering. You can start there. And then the following week, you know, maybe we'll get you in the nursery or we'll help you park cars or we'll do this. And oh, you're becoming more Christian. No, you're not. You're becoming more socialized into our mini culture, which is a very small culture at that, this Western Christianity thing. So I, Betsy and I both were like, church stinks. There are mean, abusive people in church. And the more you try to give, the more you try to love, the more rejected you get. You know that. And so we'd been hurt enough that we were done. And then, thank God, we came across a book by John Crowder called Mystical Union. And he taught me that we were mystically unified with Christ through the magic of the power of the Holy Spirit, that we'd been transformed already. And we'd been trying so hard to transform ourselves and hang around with people who could help transform us. And it was already done. We just didn't realize it. We didn't realize who we had become. And then we entered into the room of grace through the teaching of John Crowder and went, there is a whole other way of looking at Christianity. It's freeing. It's liberating. It's empowering. It's so amazing. Who is this guy? Let's follow him. Let's get every book he's written. Let's find out. And then I found others who were writing about grace way back when. So I wrote a grace webpage. I wanted people to know this. And then this guy found me from New Zealand, Dr. Paul Ellis. Look him up. Whew. Paul Ellis said, man, you seem like a grace preacher. I'd like to link you on my webpage. So it was kind of a clearinghouse for all grace preachers. So his webpage is E2R, Escape to Reality. And the abbreviation is E2R. And so Paul Ellis at Escape to Reality asked me if I'd be on his website. And it was awesome. And all of us who were teaching grace were on there, all four of us at the time. Four guys in four continents were teaching grace. I didn't know anybody except John Crowder, who was here in the States. And so I'm connecting with Paul Ellis. Now there's 1,500 guys on his webpage, by the way. And many, 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 many more. Why? Because God is opening our eyes. He's preparing for himself a bride. That's his work, not our work. He is preparing for himself a bride. We're waking up. We're starting to understand our identity. We're starting to walk in that identity. We're starting to see transformation. And guess what? You're either going to get I've been looking for this, or shut up, you're from Satan. That's it. That's your two responses. There's not very much middle ground. That's demonic. There's no way that's the Bible. And if it is, then it takes away my self-pride and all that I've worked for the last 25 years. And I can't stand in this, look what I've done, look what I've done. That's the threat. That's why it's so threatening to Satan and his kingdom. He's like, yeah, you can be a Christian, go for it. And I'll show you how to be really religious. I'll show you how to get so caught up in the room of good intentions, you're never going to accomplish the things of God. But boy, you'll be sparkling, shining for that crowd. And you're never going to accomplish eternal things. Or along comes some grace preacher who's going to pull you out of the room of good intentions. You know Satan hates that. You know there's going to be pushback when you start talking about real Christianity and not the room of good intentions. That's why we have you reading that book, because it's way simpler than John Crowder's book, which is highly theological, and it's a good book. I highly recommend it, but not everybody wants to read that kind of stuff. I now have probably in my bookshelf 40 books of guys that know grace, teach grace, walk in grace. And before it was just me and Paul, you know, and now, and there's another guy out there that's got a great book. I highly recommend it. It's called Schizophrenic Christianity. The author is Mike Filippi. Excellent book. I wrote that book because after 15 years of banging my head on the wall trying to explain what I'm saying, just let me write it in a little book. I was making a pamphlet that could go, I measured this and I wanted it to be able to go like I've got the cure in here. I wanted it to go in your Bible cover. So I measured the most common Bible cover and that's the size I made my book. I thought it was going to be like 50 pages. It ended up being 150 pages and it does fit in that pocket. But I wanted it to be a handbook for your walk with God. So in my book, I define terms, I've got the Greek words there, I've got some history, and I've got some Mike Filippi teachings in there. But it's supposed to be a little handbook you can carry so that you can hand it to people who want to know what grace is all about. And since then, I've found guys that are way better writers than me and way better explainers than me. My book's good, but I don't think it's anything like The Cure in terms of breaking through paradigms. Excellent. And I like The Cure because it's an allegory, right? It's about some guy. And some guy has to argue with some other guys, and they hammer it out, and you get to watch. That's not threatening. But if it's me going, "Yeah, you're wrong. You need to," that's threatening to the reader. I love the allegory because you can't be threatened by an allegory. You get what I'm saying? I love it. Let them hash it out, folks. I'm praying that every one of us understands the cure. I'm praying that every one of us understands who you are in Christ. That every one of us understands the difference between the room of good intentions and the room of grace and how to walk in that. And it is massively different than standard Christianity, which is a death sentence to some degree. I mean, I'm not saying these people aren't saved, not at all. They're just missing what they got. So it's like God, they got saved and God gave them this giant package full of this giant bag full of packages of wonderful things, and they just left it over there. And yeah, I'm a Christian, and I got my bag. Open the bag. Tear into the gifts. There's all kinds of gifts from Jesus. Tear in. Well, I don't know that we do that anymore. What? That's Christianity old school. It's dangerous. And death. Are they saved? Yeah, they got their bag. So in most cases, they're saved. They believe that Jesus died for their sin. They believe that Jesus came to earth. He was born of a virgin. They believe that. The basic tenets of Christianity, they believe. But the application, it's hold on tight until you're dead. And when you're dead, all the good stuff happens. Because then when you see him face to face, you'll be like him. And that's when transformation occurs. So we're all hold on till you're dead. Because when you're dead, then the goodies come. And scripture says, I've been crucified with Christ. I am dead. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live is Jesus living through me. Now that's fun. So I don't have to just hold on and wait till I'm dead. I get to live Christianity now. I get to experience kingdom life right now. Right now. I can pray for a brother and him get healed. Now, I can sit here, and I've got to tell you, I'm like, well, you still need to go checked out. You know, is your eye still good? Yeah, see? Doubter, Lord, get rid of that unbelief. Why don't I embrace that? Why don't I go? I just prayed, God did it, and now I'm going to tell God, liar. Yeah, be careful. So God's calling us out of the room of good intentions into the room of grace where we get to see stuff like that happen because we opened the bag. And part of that is pray for your brother. Expect healing. Folks, this is fun. I guarantee you the majority of people who come here from other churches will hear me teach and they'll go, that guy's a nutcase. I can't believe he's teaching that stuff. What I get a lot is he's having too much fun. Oh my goodness. Yes, Jesus was accused of being a partier, accused of being a drunkard, accused of hanging out with those guys. Yes, and those guys are welcome, please. That's Christianity. Religious people will hate this. Please don't be a religious person. But there are people that you know that are part of historically, this church, the way, who have listened to me online or have come one or two talks, and they're out of here. Why? Well, so it says. One time I said, damn. I think I did. And I wasn't offended by it, but somebody was. So, okay, I won't say damn anymore. I don't need to say damn. But that was so offensive that they're gone. Like, really? Come and talk to me. You could tell me, Mike, I'm offended when you say that. Oh, okay, I don't need to say that. I'm willing to tune up. I'm willing to, I don't, that's neither here nor there for me. I just don't have that religious grid where that's a bad thing. I mean, right? We could talk about that. And the Bible says, beware of the words coming out of your mouth. Right? And in some circles, that's really bad stuff. So yeah, I want to be aware of that. So I make a mistake now and then. So I say things now and then, or I embrace a thought that you go, what was that about? Come and talk to me. Either I need to explain what I was saying and why I said it, or I really misspoke. Can a pastor misspeak? You better believe it. We do it all the time. We're just people. The only difference between me and anybody else is I'm available for this position. That's it. You want to have it? Come up. It's yours. So, all right, you're so funny. I didn't mean that. I misspoke. That's funny, Jordan. Oh, God. You're cracking me up. Thank you. And you're not either. See, I love you, Betty. You, seriously, you're down to earth. You're real. My wife met you and she goes, she's my girl. That's it. That girl is real. That girl's not playing any games. She's not in the room of good intentions. She has nothing good about her. So, yeah. Amen, brother. And I'll attest to that. but we should be able to have fun with each other. We should be able to talk freely, you know. We should be able to examine things or question things. It's fantastic. So that's who I am. You bring people here, they may not like Mike. That's funny. They may not like Mike. They may not like Dave. Dave, Julie, Mike, Betsy, Don, Sherry, we get grace. You want to know more about grace? Come and talk. You want to know why we're weird like this? Come and talk. You want to know why we said that stupid thing? Come and talk. You got an issue? Come and talk. And if we can't work it out, not now though. but that's Christianity, talking it through. Come, let us reason together. And you remember Matthew 18, if somebody offends you, go to them. And if they don't get it, you're not, get a buddy, go hammer it out. It's communication. That's love. So everything that happens in this church is going to be spirit-led or uncomfortable or changing day by day. What is your church like? Kind of hard to tell you. And you'll see us change up music, old school, new school, praise songs, hymns. Why? Because they're all good. Let's worship God. Let's have fun together, right? Don't get caught in a rut. That's religion. Don't get caught saying only this is holy. No, God shows himself many ways, and follow Jesus' healing in scripture. How did he heal? What's the formula? How did he do it? Let's see. It's always the same. Oh, no, it isn't. Is it? It's okay. One time he spits in the guy's eye. Another time he tells the guy to go dunk. Another time he says, go show yourself to those guys. Every time he heals, it's different. Don't think there's a formula with God. Every time he transforms somebody's life, it's different. Every single thing he did was, wait, you're keeping me off balance. I can't find the religion in this. I can't find the formula. And Jesus, it's not a formula. It's a relationship. If you had a formula relationship with your wife, wouldn't that be fun? Dinner on the table, 5 o'clock. Thank you, honey. Give me a kiss. Going to go watch TV. See, if women wrote the script, it would be really different. Hey, I do the dishes now and then. But see, we don't want a formulaic relationship with our spouse. We want an authentic relationship. You know, I don't know if any of you noticed, We're all players. We're all on the same team. And the role of elders is it's a coaching staff. What does it say in Scripture? God gave some of us to be pastors, elders, teachers. For what? The equipping of the team for playing the game, that we might all be in unity together and come to maturity. We're coaches so that you can do your job better. Ministry is not my job. Ministry is our job, right? I can train. I can coach. I can teach the stuff I'm teaching. You might think it's weird, but start playing. Start playing and you'll see, oh, that does work. That's a great way to attack or approach. That's it. Dave, me, Don, our job is to be coaches. And so that's why I put it on my door. I want you to know me, my role, my function, not as a holier-than-thou man, not as he's one of our spiritual leaders. No, no. I'm one of your brothers who walks with you side by side, who makes mistakes just like you do, and but I've got some history and some training. I can help coach. Does that mean I'm the best player? No. You take a look at Vince Lombardi, one of my favorite coaches ever, a squat, small, round Italian guy, best coach ever. He was a good player in his time, but nothing like what he was coaching. He was coaching guys that were world-class beasts. Amazing, this little squatty Italian guy. And I love the fact that he was Italian. That makes him really good. But you got to understand that to be a coach doesn't mean you're the best player. It just means you can teach. It means you can help others understand what their role is. That's what we do. That's what we do. So we're all players. We're all growing each other. God's using all of us to build all of us up. I promise you that it's not going to be long till we don't have enough room in this room. I really do think that. Not because we're into some church growth program. We're not. We don't care. I mean, I do. I care that there's more people because I want people to know grace. And I want us to expand and multiply and touch other lives. I want to see more faces. I love it. And the energy in a group like that is super duper fun. But it's not bad that during this transition, we're losing people or we have lost people. It's also not bad that we're in a slow growth process. Why? Not everybody's going to like this. Not everybody's going to want this. And so we're going to get people in here, they're going to go, ugh, bye. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't wish you were here. I don't want to offend you or make you uncomfortable. Go. Go. This isn't everybody's cup of tea. I wish it were, though. Don't you? I wish it were. But it doesn't matter. God's going to bring the right people in the right time. And I believe that the way is going to have a reputation of those guys down there. They really get it. They're really loving. They're really kind. They really know how to have fun. That's what I hope. And they really see the power of Jesus in their midst. It isn't just a story. It isn't just a religion. It's a family. And I want to be part of that. I want to hang with that. Can we get some of that? We're like, yeah, please come. So get ready. We're still not even, I just got here. I would say yesterday. And now we can start a growth process where we can put our heads together, work on, I got to work on the webpage. I got to work on our identity being clear on the webpage. We've got to work on connecting. I want to connect with all the pastors of this town. I want to do a missions trip with Family Church if they will let me. I really do. And so let's be talking about that. Let's be praying about it. I want to have a pastor's powwow where we pray for the whole city together, knowing that I wanted to lay that foundation, talk about our identity, which you've heard. Have you heard me talk about our identity in Christ? You heard me talk about the room of good intentions? Are you getting it? Do you think you could articulate this to others? Do you think you could explain your weird walk with God to others in a way that's not offensive? Well, it might be offensive, but that sort of makes sense. So we're 15. We're going to go have a great time, you guys. I love you all. Thank God for what's going on with Don. Thank God for what he's doing in this body. And thank you for what you did today by welcoming us, because I really feel like this is our beginning. This weekend has been awesome. And it's 4th of July, so it's like, what a weekend. This is celebrate those all those things. And we've just been, I feel like I'm part of the community. I feel like I'm part of the body. And I'm not the new kid on the block, but what a way to start. Because I got 6 months to warm up. And now we're here. I've been here 6 months, you guys. 6 months. And I still haven't touched the webpage. I haven't had a chance to do that. I still haven't done the outreach things that we've talked about, you know. There's very specific things we want to do when we're going to do, but the coming and going has made it, don't even get started because you're never going to make headway. I'm here. And we're still hanging up our clothes and storing stuff. We're still getting settled. So I think we got one more week of that, and then it's, here we go. You guys are very gifted. I can point to every person here and tell you what I see your gifting as and why you're here. You're all powerful. You're all needed. You're all super special. Saying that each one of you is super gifted, I believe that God has sifted us to this. This is the basic foundation. We will build our future on this. You are not just a spectator or just an audience member. You are absolutely needed and absolutely essential to where God wants to take this body. That's what's happening here. You're awesome. We're moving together, and it's going to be a team thing. Now, as pastor, elder, as we work as a team, we're going to help identify your strengths, gifts, and desires and tie all that stuff together. Somebody brought that sheet. Who did that? Anita? Who was it? Anita put that sheet together?
Yeah.
What prompted you to do that? Betsy prompted. Good job, babe. And what makes you think that you have the freedom or authority to do that? You're going down, girl. No, see, that's the body. That's exactly what's supposed to happen. When God is moved on your heart and you go, oh, could we do this? Well, and I don't want to see a bunch of renegade independent stuff going on, but I do want to see you being moved independently by the Spirit. But you bring that before the elders, and so we can pray with you. We can look at bigger picture timing, and we can then launch that ship. Get going. That's what God's put on your heart. But we want to be able to build support around you so that it isn't, you know, fire a cannon and shoot a pea. You know what I mean? That when we fire that cannon, we fire the cannon. So you come with a passion, a vision, something you want to work on in the church, let us know. Not because we need to control it. That's not what I'm saying. But let us know so we can pray with you on it and we can all get together as one and we can move through, because there's going to be opposition. God put something on your heart. You know the enemy's going to have opposition. You want to have a team with you that can power through the opposition, the barricades, and the walls. That's team. Look around you. This, if we wrote our names on a charter, this is the charter of the way. This is the people that are, it's like the people that signed the Declaration of Independence. You know, you're declaring war and you're declaring a vision for the future. And that's what's happening right now. We are declaring war on the kingdom of darkness. We're declaring war on religion. And together we're saying, this is where we're going. We're building a strong body who has a powerful impact in this community and even broader as God develops that. So get ready, because you're it. Amen. So eat your Cheerios, come back nourished. So let's stand, and I will close. Father, thank you for this fantastic family. Oh, I can look and see every single person, every face, and go, these people are incredible. I thank you for every single person, Lord. I look forward to what you're doing and where we're going. I pray as we get together that you would bless our meal, bless our time together. We're going to have communion. We're going to celebrate the body and the blood of Christ. We're going to celebrate and remember, thank you once again for all that you've done and all that you are doing. And we long for that. We look forward to it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now what? Go play. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha.